Sophia Baca, host of Breaking Math.
Today I am joined by...
Well, one of the co-hosts and producer of this show.
And I'm also joined by...
Jacob Urban.
And today we're going to be talking about homebrewed science. And for the theme of the episode, we are recording in an undisclosed meth lab in Albuquerque because I wanted to record in a lab, and it turns out it is very hard to get security clearance.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
Don't make me ask questions, Doc Brown. You wouldn't like it if I had to ask questions. Why are you hanging out with a teenager? Okie dokie. So today we're going to be talking about a bunch of people who conducted experiments in their homes and outside of the conventional laboratory setting. And of course, we're going to start with the lead mask case. And for my listeners who are unfamiliar with this, it is a series of bizarre events which led to the deaths of two Brazilian electronic technicians. They were last seen by their family on August 16th, 1966, and they were discovered dead on August 20th, 1966. Their names were Manuel Pereira da Cruz and Miguel Jose Viana. A young boy was flying his kite at Morro do Vintam, or Vintam Hill, in Niterói in Rio de Janeiro. After being discovered by the boy, they were both reported to the authorities. The terrain, though, was actually really harsh because it was the Brazilian mountains, so the police couldn't reach the body for 2 days.
I like that the police couldn't reach the body for 2 days, but the kids were flying a kite in this area.
He'd probably lived there, and for all we know, he may have been some sort of goat boy.
Well, it could have also been like the kid was some like a secluded village, kind of hard to get. Like there's people living there, but they're not like they don't have their own police force.
Yeah, I guess the police might have had to come from far away.
And they also might have needed, you know, bring a gurney out there. And...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, this is Brazil, so that's like pretty rough terrain in some parts.
Oh, yeah. So when the police and firefighters arrived, they found them wearing formal suits, lead eye mask, waterproof coats, and they had no signs of trauma or evidence of any sort of struggle. They also found an empty water bottle, two wet towels, a small notepad.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, like, I think the most striking thing so far is the formal suits. Like, I think that's what kind of pushes everything already over the edge.
Yeah, it's all pretty weird stuff to have together.
Well, that, the formal suits with the lead eye masks.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the really strange notes that they had. At 4:30, be at specified location. At 6:30, ingest capsules. After effect, protect metals, await signal mask.
And so at this point, I remember when we were reading the signal mask, I thought they're probably trying to contact aliens because signal masks.
Yeah, or ghost.
Something.
Yeah, they were trying to contact something. And like, I've heard about this case before. And yeah, that is definitely one of the theories, is that they're trying to contact aliens or ghosts.
Because if you're trying to contact like a person on this planet, they have like another phone, or like you have a system set up. You don't kind of like just walk around with the mask.
Oh, yeah. And like one of the men's friends later on said they're part of a group that practiced like a lot of weird occult stuff. And the esoteric diary that was found at the scene and literature concerning spirits in the men's homes. And I mean, it sounds like they're trying to communicate with the dead, which I will say right now, they were completely successful in their experiment because they did reach the spirit world.
I mean, you're not wrong. They definitely did come into contact with spirits if that's what they were attempting to do.
I can just imagine them like looking at a ghost and being like, success! And then him being like, what success? They're like, well, we were able to talk to you. How do we get back into our bodies? You don't.
Yeah, we got to have a conversation.
Which there was also no like toxicology report done in the autopsy. And me and Jacob and Sophia discussed, the best reasoning behind that is it was Brazil in the 60s. They had a lot going on, and I'm sure the coroner was just like, I don't have time to look at two dumbasses who poisoned themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it says ingest capsules, and then they died, and there's no attempts of a struggle.
Yeah, these two guys poisoned themselves.
Or was it foul play or aliens?
Maybe the aliens poisoned them, but they just still died of poison.
Yeah. See, they got the capsules from the aliens, but it's like an unrelated thing. The aliens were just a friend of theirs. They're trying to contact the dead.
So you're saying that they overdosed on psychedelics?
On alien psychedelics.
And aliens being their dealers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, potato, tomato.
Well, again, if their goal was to contact the spirit world, they definitely succeeded, even if aliens were the dealers.
I just imagine the ghosts are like, why do you want to talk to us anyway? We're doing ghost things. You wouldn't comprehend it.
I'm still mourning the fact that I got bayoneted to death by a Portuguese soldier. Oh, anything else that you're doing? No, that's it. I just do that every day. I start wailing and trying to put my guts back in. Oh.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that doesn't sound very fun. What about the ones that move on? Well, yeah, they got to move on because they didn't die like a dumbass who swallowed, like, poison.
So you're going to be seeing me on this beach quite a lot.
I start wailing very early in the morning. Ghosts sleep, apparently. They have circadian rhythms. Mm.
And of course, now we're going to be talking about a programmer by the name of Terrence Andrew Davis, also known as Terry Andrew Davis, December 15th, 1969 to August 11th, 2018, who is best known for creating and designing the Temple OS operating system. Now, this is a pretty impressive feat. Sophia, who is a programmer, could probably help contextualize it a little bit more, but a man building an entire operating system by themselves?
Oh, yeah, it's a big task. Like, even for, like, the most toy small operating system, like, first of all, it has to be able to read the disk. And the way that an operating system sees the hard drive, it doesn't see files. It just sees a bunch of platters and, like, numbers. It has to, like, organize all the information. It has to print things to the screen. It has to take text and apply fonts to it. It has to, if it has windows, it has to do the calculations for which windows are on top of one another. What happens when you click something out of it? I mean, there's just so many things that go into it. It's like building a factory by yourself. Like, you could totally imagine somebody building a factory by themselves, but it would take a lot of effort.
So Terry Davis worked for Ticketmaster up until about 1996 when he began experiencing manic episodes and was initially diagnosed with bipolar disorder and later declared to have schizophrenia.
Did you say Ticketmaster?
Yes.
As in, I want to go see such and such band.
I want to go see Taylor Swift and ICP. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'll say being a programmer for a ticketing company drives you insane because those people are insane. No, just kidding.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this guy definitely is insane. So, not to say everybody with schizophrenia is insane, but this guy was insane.
There's a lot of things about this guy that his schizophrenia doesn't explain.
Yeah. So he began experiencing self-described revelations, and he proclaimed that he was in direct communication with God, and that God had commanded him to build a successor to the Second Temple. He committed a decade of his life to creating an operating system modeled after the DOS-based interfaces of his youth, first calling it the J operating system, and later Losthos. And in 2013, he announced that he had completed the project, which was now called Temple OS. So Davis, basically, he created this whole OS that was based on Commodore. It looked a lot like Commodore. It had some programs pre-installed in it. One was like for like writing code
and another one was for it was a compiler, right? Compiler, that's what it's for.
Oh yeah, it was a compiler. There's a thing called the C programming language. It's just a lot of low level stuff is written in C. And he wrote a variant of C that had some cool features, actually, like being able to use text. Pictures within like the text format and stuff like that. And he called it Holy C because this guy is all about puns.
Mm-hmm. And he's also like really, 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 really obsessed with God. He also had a flight simulator and something that he, I can't remember what he called it. It was like a glossia program. That's what he called it, like speaking in tongues.
Oh, glossolalia.
Glossolalia. Yeah, glossolalia program. And it would just print out, like, I mean, it would just display random sentences, a lot of which contained racial slurs.
And he was really mad that people didn't use that part of his program more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically he created the world's first AI hate bot.
Yes, he did. This thing would just randomly generate words, and a lot of the time it contained racial slurs, which.
And he did it for God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wow. Just making sure I'm on the same page here.
Okay, well,
speaking of pages, how about the racist chapter?
Well, that's what we were about to get into. So, do you remember something awful?
Something awful?
The website?
The website?
It's like a forum, I think.
No, I don't.
Do you remember 4chan?
Well, yes, I remember that.
Okay, so 4chan was like something awful. Okay. Like, they're like, okay, how horrible and racist do you think somebody would have to have been to get kicked off of those websites?
They were actively calling for harm towards people that they were doxing.
Not exactly, but he loved using racial slurs, and he used them as much as he could, and he would defend it by saying that he was conducting psychological warfare on his enemies.
Okay.
And he would constantly talk about CIA N-words.
What was that quote that he said? I mean, obviously we're not going to read the whole quote, but something like they used that word psychically against me. So
okay, here it is. Jesus used a racist slur calling Canaanites dogs in Matthew 15:21-28. I asked God about racism. He said, sports? White people indirectly call each other N-word all the time. After the BBC kept indirectly calling me a N-word, I said, fine, I ain't a pussy. I'll use the real word on my enemies. And I fight Satan. I use the sharpest knives I can find. I ain't shedding no tears because you don't like N-word. Just remember that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And our dear God is from planet Earth.
So this guy definitely has his life together. Like, he clearly is like a functional, you know, perfectly reasonable human being.
Well, we haven't gotten into how he died yet.
Oh, I mean, I figured there was an end to this story.
He posted hours of video blogs that would refer to himself as the smartest programmer that's ever lived. And like, his OS was eventually part of outsider art expositions and stuff like that. But he was super upset that people didn't understand that the OS was for speaking to God.
Yeah, because he literally thought that, like, you know, the third temple was supposed to be made out of code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So his life just kept kind of deteriorating a little bit more and more. And he was homeless. And eventually he just wandered onto a train track and was killed by a train.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of people in 2018 are killed by trains, I don't think.
No, it's actually kind of like a rarity nowadays. Like, you know, Pa getting drunk and wandering on the tracks doesn't really happen in this day and age. Like, usually when people jump onto a track nowadays, it's intentional.
Well, your jogger's doing it up, actually. Like, they'll just be running a track and then they'll have their headphones in.
Oh, yeah.
That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it actually does make a lot of sense. But yeah, according to the conductor was like, yeah, this guy totally just hopped in front of me.
So he was an insane racist who was very devout, and eventually he became a homeless person and he probably killed himself.
And he built a OS by himself that was outdated by like its standard, but was very impressive.
No, yeah, no. The feat of building an OS is impressive. I'm not denying that.
But because it's something
I couldn't do.
Yeah, he was a crazy racist, and just like Gallagher, but unlike Gallagher, he didn't smash watermelons. And next up, we've got Mad Mike Hughes. So he was born on February 9th, 1956, and died on February 22nd, 2020. And he was an American limousine driver, professed flat earther, and daredevil who built steam-powered rockets.
Oh, that's safe.
Okay, so you know those like those water pressure rockets that you used to play with as a kid? They pump up with water and they...
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically built giant versions of those.
Except they're powered by steam?
Yes.
Yeah, I will say steam is an amazing actually thing to use as a rocket fuel source. Like, if you can build, like, you know, stuff that contains it safely.
Yeah, as long as you do it right, it's pretty cool.
Because it like just,
if you did it wrong, that's when you make a giant bomb.
Yeah, that's the issue, is that steam turns things into a bomb very quickly.
Yeah, well, good news is he didn't blow anybody up.
That's also why you don't see blimps made out of steam yet, because you totally could see that.
Yeah, well, you know, let everybody know we could be building blimps with steam.
The 1800s dream.
Also, remember that they could also be battered pipe bombs with wings, essentially. So let's be careful.
Yeah, like that sounds horrifyingly dangerous.
He spent his childhood in Oklahoma, and in 2002, he actually set a Guinness World Record with a 103-foot jump in a Lincoln Town Car stretch limo. That's impressive as hell.
Yeah.
That's impressive as hell. I mean, that's like, that's, I've done that stuff in GTA, and I know jumping that far in a limo is not easy.
Oh, yeah. No, he was hauling ass to do that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of cool. So in 2014, he shot himself 1,374 feet in just over a minute. It was 419 meters. According to the CBC, he collapsed after landing and it took him 3 days to recover. He said that injuries that he suffered put him into a walker, and there is no evidence of him entering the rocket, and there are people that doubt that he was not even in it. He eventually started up a fundraiser, made like $310, and started telling people that he was doing it to prove the Earth is flat. Then he proceeded to make $7,875, which
is his goal, right? Which is good. Yeah. Grift.
Yeah, pretty good grift. If you can just convince, I mean, granted though, taking advantage of a bunch of people that think that the Earth is flat, I mean, these people, somebody convinced them that the Earth is flat. They're pretty gullible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. And honestly, the more you dive into like flat Earth stuff, you get into like this weird like mix of like white nationalism and like mental illness.
You know what? Actually, I think that might be a good Halloween costume this year. I'm going to walk around with a paper plate and a flashlight. I'm going to be a flat earther.
That would work if the sun had a cone around it.
Yeah. I mean,
or a cylinder.
I saw a video on YouTube where a guy just used a paper plate and a flashlight to explain why the Earth is flat.
Oh, I know.
And I was like really impressed, because I was like, wow, dude, that is really, really stupid. That's all I could think. I was like, that is really stupid. You're using a paper plate and a flashlight to explain the Earth being flat. He had a lot of problems like getting the rocket like launched and everything, and he eventually was able to launch himself on March 24th, 2018, and he managed to go 1,875 feet or 572 meters this time.
And those two measurements, I believe they're vertical, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is kind of insanely high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's real. You said 1,800 feet?
1,875 feet. 572 meters.
Elders tell of a young ball much like you. He bounced 3 meters in the air. Then he bounced 1.8 meters in the air. Then he bounced 4 meters in the air. Do I make myself clear?
Yeah, so that's pretty damn high.
Quarter mile, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he landed pretty hard, but apparently he was all right. And then he tried to launch 2019, but couldn't. And then 2020, February 22nd, 2020, he was able to launch himself. His parachute deployed while he was launching, and he kind of just slingshotted into the ground. And I've read things about it where, like, they talked about the safety on his thing and how it was like a 3-point safety system. Like, he had to eject his parachute, he had to, like, pull a pin and pull a handle and push a button. So it had to have been intentional, whatever he was doing. Like, it was a suicide. I don't know why he did it, but the man killed himself, like, on TV.
In the most wildy coyote way he could have fucking imagined, apparently.
Yeah, I'm going to deploy a parachute while I'm in a rocket.
I'm going to slingshot myself into the ground. Jesus, that's so horrifying.
Meep, meep.
God, imagine if you survive.
Actually, you know, human beings are super resilient sometimes. I don't know if somebody could survive that.
Probably look like one of those sea monkeys from that show we were talking about last time.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, you would be fucked because it would throw you into the rocket stream, too.
Oh, yeah. According to Hughes's publicist, Darren Schuster, he never believed in the flat Earth stuff, and he just used it for publicity, which, I mean, the man was able to build a rocket ship that was powered by steam. I'm sure he was smart enough to know that the Earth was round.
Oh, my God, that's even worse that he got pulled into that thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just see an easy opportunity.
Yeah, I mean.
And apparently his dream was to build a steam-powered rocket.
Yeah, he just liked building rockets that were like death traps.
Yeah, because like so many things could go wrong with a steam-powered rocket.
To be fair, something a lot of stuff could go wrong with jumping a limo 100 and some feet. This person was not safety oriented.
That is true, but you know, I'm sure there's ways to reinforce the limo that make it so it's not a flying pipe bomb.
Well, it wasn't even wasn't the problem that he just it wasn't that it exploded, right?
No, it's so that he deployed his chute.
Yeah, like, no, he pulled himself into its fucking like jet stream
and threw himself into the ground.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
it was pretty horrific.
Which, yeah, no, that's absolutely horrifying way to die. But also, yeah, that thing could have like gone up like a couple hundred feet and just exploded.
Yeah, I mean, it could have happened, but that could happen with any rocket.
True. Rocket fuel is generally very volatile.
Yeah, I heard some horror story about Columbia where they knew something was wrong right at launch. And it was like, we can't tell them now because then they'll just spend the whole mission knowing they're going to die on reentry. That's pretty horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
But, okay, let's move on to a happier note. And now we'll talk about a kid who almost melted himself.
I like how that's the happier note.
Well, yeah, okay, it's not really a happier note.
I mean, it's kind of funny in a really dark way.
Tragedy is comedy plus distance. I mean, time again, time.
To be fair, I just, when I think of this kid, I think of the Vault Boy from Fallout.
Yeah, yeah.
What Millie did was she put out her thumb, kind of like the mascot from
Fallout. The Vault-Tec mascot.
Yeah, the Vault Boy. No, it's good that you're explaining to the audience what I was doing. I was doing that gesture with the, you know, the thumb and the one eye, how you check for nuclear fallout.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm doing cartwheels.
And I am doing a seductive dance for Lucy Liu, and it's the most beautiful dance ever, but she'll never see it and she'll never know. She's adorable, even though she's like 50.
Well, nobody's judging you for that. She is adorable.
Sorry, I just feel like everybody's judging me.
No, I think adorable is the perfect word for her.
All right. Yeah. So, David Charles Hand, born October 30th, 1976, and died September 27th, 2016. Why are they all dead?
Well, they were all amateur scientists, so that might have something to play.
That is true.
They're also very like freewheeling, like amateur scientists. I mean, everybody but the Temple OS guy, who everybody else, their thing that they did killed them with the Temple OS guy is literally everything else in his life that killed him.
Yeah, all these other people, it's their science that kills them. Although this guy, it wasn't his science. Okay, we'll get into that. So he's also known as the Radioactive Boy Scout or the Nuclear Boy Scout. And what he's best known for is, okay, there's a misconception that he managed to build a reactor. He did not build a reactor. What he built was called a neutron source. And it's, okay, so imagine you like bust open a bean bag and it's just leaking beans everywhere. But imagine those beans are super radioactive particles and they just don't stop coming out of the beanbag.
Oh, yeah, but not quite enough to, like, basically you can't impart the kind of energy you need for, like, an actual reactor. It just, basically these neutrons, it's just kind of a chain reaction that he created, like a very low-grade chain reaction. It just generating neutron radiation. Which, the fun thing about neutrons is that when they hit you, they explode inside of you.
This thing just fucking develops deadly radiation. That's all it does. It is just spit out horrible, horrible radiation.
Oh, yeah. And I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, that's right. Neutrons can go through cement, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's just creating, like, basically a poison machine.
Yeah, like, it's just a death machine.
And
yeah, check it out. They go further than gamma rays.
After all, you don't work in the control room of a nuclear power plant. But as it turned out, the men who didn't understand it either.
Yeah, no, this guy just made a death machine.
Yeah, so he had some obsession with reactors and decided as, like, a Boy Scout project to make a breeder reactor.
Which I'm going to just step in here and say is especially insane, because a breeder reactor is a reactor that produces more fissile material than it consumes. So it just kind of, like, makes a different type of fissile material that can be kind of used again in a second stage. It's really complicated, and, like, you have to refine the materials so much that, like, that fear of nuclear arms proliferation is what stops people from making these commercially. Basically, for a nuclear bomb, you have to purify the stuff a lot more than you do for anything else, and it's really easy to tell on satellites the kind of factory somebody has for these things, just because of the way you have to set them up. So suffice it to say, this is a really stupid project.
So this one is not only a death machine, it's also to make more death machines.
I think he thought that he was going to create, like, free energy.
Yeah, like, I think he was doing the...
Behold, the power plant of the future today!
No, too cold and sterile. Where's the heart?
But it really generates power. It's lighting this room right now.
You lose. Get off my property.
So, yeah, he was probably trying to create free energy or something.
Or at least, like, really, really cheap energy. But and do you want to mention what he uses as fuel?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, okay. So, he amassed radioactive material by collecting small amounts from household products such as americium from smoke detectors, thorium from camping lantern mantles, radium from clocks, and tritium from gun sights.
Which is now a problem because he's mixing a bunch of different radioactive things together, which generally you need a very controlled reaction for nuclear power.
Oh, also, his reactor was nothing but a bored out block of lead, and he used lithium from $1,000 worth of purchased batteries to purify the thorium ash using a Bunsen burner.
Dear God.
I'm not a chemist, and I can tell how stupidly dangerous this is.
I'm sure that he used a vent hood, a venting hood. I'm sure that he only wafted. I'm sure that he followed all the proper precautions, filed plans with the EPA.
I'm sure they did this in a camper van like fucking Breaking Bad.
It was a shed, right?
It was a shed in his mom's backyard.
Ha! Ha! No, just kidding. This is not any better.
No, my second guess is going to be his own backyard.
So, yeah, he was hoping to create a breeder reactor that used low-level isotopes to transform samples of thorium and uranium into fissionable isotopes. It did emit measurable amounts of radiation, though, likely exceeding 1,000 times normal background radiation.
I'm sure that's not good to be around.
No, not at all.
We've did it, everyone. We've created the cancer machine. Now we invest in the pharmacy.
Sounds like it's like getting like 1,000 x-rays a minute.
Well, let's check it out.
Here's where it gets fun. He was alarmed and began to dismantle his experiments, but in a chance encounter, police discovered his activities, which triggered a federal radiological emergency response team involving the FBI and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Yeah, because if this thing, like, fucking went into meltdown, it would have probably taken out, like, a city block.
Nah, I wouldn't have done that. It was...
At least, like, the next couple houses around it.
It wasn't producing enough energy to melt down. But
it was irradiating everybody in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and it would have kept pumping out radiation.
Like, was anybody hurt by this thing?
Probably. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, well, I wish I had lived next door to that kid who built the neutron source. Like, that's kind of what it was. It's like, you know, I kind of, you know, start getting nosebleeds like 30 years later and.
Your God.
Yeah, I'm sure it happened.
See, shit like this makes me glad that I don't live in a city.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say about this kid, honestly, because it's kind of insane.
Okay, like if he'd lived like in that area and he was 1,000 times the normal back radiation, it's like getting 2 head CT scans every day.
Oh my God. Yeah, that doesn't sound good for you. It doesn't sound specifically terrible, but it doesn't sound like it's good for you at all.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, 5.
Okay, yeah, that sounds terrible for you.
Yeah, basically twice the normal yearly background dose every day.
Yeah, that sounds really bad for you.
Like, how long did it take them to fucking find this thing? The cops.
Probably a couple weeks.
Oh, dear God.
It was some sort of traffic stop. He had this crap, like, he was, like, loading it into his car. Oh, no, that's the second time. Sorry, the first time, yeah, it was an unrelated issue. It was something, like, they were doing, like, they were checking something out at his house.
And then they noticed that the cops just started, like, I feel really bad yeah, here.
Probably I feel weird. Why is it getting hotter in the backyard or something? I don't
Why
know.
Why do I see sparks?
My head hurts.
What's that buzzing sound? Like, maybe 100 things. I have no idea what caused them to go check. But
I can smell yesterday.
What smells like burning sinuses? Like, there could be 100 things. But, yeah, so after the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the FBI and everything happened, June 26, 1995, the EPA designated Hahn's mother's property a Superfund hazardous materials cleanup site.
Yeah.
They dismantled the shed and its contents and buried them in low-level radioactive waste.
Yeah, you need to, like, encapsulate all of that in cement, I think.
Oh, yeah, it gets better. Unknown to officials at the time, apparently Hahn's mom, who was afraid she was going to lose her house if, like, they knew the full extent of what had happened. Yeah, there's more. Collected the majority of the radioactive material and threw it away in the garbage.
No, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That is the worst. The worst thing she could have done was just held on to it. But that is the second worst thing she could have done.
Yeah. I mean, she had a toilet in her house.
That's the third.
Actually, I think that's number 2.
Well, that's still going to a waste processing, like, facility.
What you do is you put
they might find it.
Yeah, but how are they going to get the radiation out of the water?
Actually, that's a really good point. Okay, that might actually be the worst thing she could have done, because then she's, like, irradiating a lot of people at once.
Instead of just the whole sea. I mean, still, I mean, it's less per whatever, but still, it's not great.
Yeah, either way, it's not great.
But yeah, I do think that would be. Yeah.
So Han refused medical evaluation, and scientists believed that his life expectancy was like shortened.
I bet.
Also, I'd like you to describe a picture of him, because I was kind of waiting for you to do that, but just curious if you're going to bring it up. But
oh,
there's a famous picture of him.
And now we're in part two of David Han's life. The second time he built a breeder reactor.
He did this twice.
He didn't do it once. He built a neutron source the first time.
Neutron source the second time.
I know. It was just because he did not rebuild two breeder reactors.
Okay, no. He attempted to do this again. Yes.
He attempted it one more time. On August 1st, 2007, Han was charged with larceny in Michigan for removing a number of smoke detectors from the halls of his apartment building.
Okay.
And his intention was to obtain the americium. And in his mugshot, Sophia, you were going to bring this up. In his mugshot, he looks like he melted. He's like missing pieces of his face.
Like he has like open sores everywhere. He looks like one of those like old cartoons of leprosy from the Middle Ages.
Yeah, and investigators believe it was a combination of picking at his face from meth and the building of a reactor in his apartment.
Okay, so this maniac wasn't able to actually build a second one.
No, it was the same. No, he built another neutron source. He did build another neutron source.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
It wasn't a reactor, but yeah, he built another neutron source.
I was going to say also the first one, I do know that the way that he got a lot of his smoke detectors is he found some catalog where he bought them for $1 a piece somehow, like used ones.
Yeah, this one he just stole a bunch.
So so I'm assuming
New David.
I will admit, dude, New David is a lot more fun than Old David, because Old David was trying to get his Eagle Scout.
I'm an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, New David is probably trying to fund his meth habit with this thing.
If I feed enough energy back into the grid.
No, his plan wasn't broken. I'm gonna build this horrible fucking thing and try to sell it to some foreign government.
Yeah, it's probably he's probably like, oh, post 9/11, I know what to do.
Exactly. That was probably what his plan was. And he's gonna sell it to some horrible person, and he's gonna use that money to fuel his meth habit. Okay, but I'm assuming the timeline here is then that he stole a bunch of smoke detectors, got arrested, and then he got more smoke detectors for this project?
So he was arrested, and he was charged with larceny, and I guess, like, it wasn't as bad as the last time, but he was way more directly exposed to radioactive materials, and that's why he looked like a monster. Yeah, so the weird thing is he actually did stop after they demanded he undergo psychiatric evaluation.
Did they find something wrong with him?
Drugs.
Drugs and just a weird obsession with trying to build a reactor. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, it's cool like to build reactors, but like, you know, it's like hard.
And then in 2016, he wound up overdosing on a combination of fentanyl and dihydramine and a few other things.
Okay, that's the most surprising thing in here is that the drug habit is what killed him and not the fucking radiation exposure.
But I'm assuming the radiation caused the drug habit.
Oh, I'm assuming that too. His life was probably agony.
I honestly think that he was so distraught by the way that the first one went, because he seemed like he really, really wanted to get it done. He was probably one of those like burnt out genius dudes.
It was just gnawing at him. Failure was just gnawing at him for decades.
Yeah, he's like, if I did it when I was 12, I could do it again, or 14, or how old was he?
The first time he was 17.
17, yeah.
And the second time he would have been, he was 31.
So yeah, it just been gnawing at him for years. Just this thing that he just didn't obtain.
And now, because during the research for this, we found out that there was another Yahoo who built a breeder reactor or tried to build a breeder reactor in his house.
and builds another cancer machine?
Well, no, not exactly, but he definitely, like, he shortened his own life.
So he built a cancer machine for one.
Yeah, essentially. So Richard Handel is a Swedish man who was born in 1980, and he experimented with building a breeder reactor in his apartment in Sweden. And he became unemployed. So he decided to start collecting elements on the periodic table, and out of curiosity, he started, you know, looking into nuclear reaction. And he bought, you know, a radiator suitable for transmutation, Geiger counter. He spent about 6,000 Swedish kroner in materials and equipment, including tritium, americium, aluminum, beryllium, thorium, radium, and uranium.
This guy got it all.
Yeah, he got it all. One step involved cooking the americium, the radium, and the beryllium in 96% sulfuric acid on a stove in order to more easily mix ingredients.
And because he said, quote, what if I did this? This would be so cool.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, you're not supposed to mix them.
Yeah, why would you? I don't understand why these people keep mixing their radioactive materials. It's like,
because the more radioactive it is, the more power there is, apparently.
It doesn't make it more radioactive. It just averages them out.
But there's more.
I mean, like, I don't think you could just combine like half copper and half steel and get something like that's half copper and half, you know.
Oh, here's the best part, though. It resulted in an explosion, which I'm shocked it didn't result in a more dangerous, like deadly explosion.
He was boiling radioactive material in sulfuric acid. Yeah. That was... I'm not a chemist, but I can tell you that
either.
That's pretty apparent, but at least I know that's gonna blow up.
Yeah, I agree with Jacob. I'm not a chemist, but I can tell you that's gonna blow up. I can also tell you that he should be dead.
Also, I'm pretty sure, now that I think about it, that I think that boiling the sulfuric acid was what caused the explosion, and it just was mixed with a bunch of like really poisonous metals.
Yeah,
because I do know that and he might have even added water to it to try to like change it, because, you know, if you add water to acid, it's like, or no, acid to water is bad.
No, I know what you're talking about. You add something to like super corrosive acids and it makes them like essentially boil on their own.
Oh yeah, so yeah, you can't do water to acid, because if you do water to acid, it boils really violently. It's splashing concentrated acid out of the container.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like super, super dangerous. And basically that reaction will happen until the acid has burnt all of the water away.
Oh, yeah. Or dissolved as much as it could.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why, like, when you're trying to dilute something, you always get like a big thing of cold water, you know? And put it in the water.
Well, isn't that why you're supposed to use a base to wash an acid off? So you don't want to use water?
Well, a base is if you want to neutralize an acid, but if you just want to dilute the acid, you just add acid to water.
See, I was talking about if you got it spilt on you.
Oh, yeah. No, then you want to, like, use a baking soda.
Yeah, like, you do not want to run water on that.
Yeah, but you also don't want to go the other direction and start throwing lye on yourself.
No.
That'd be kind of weird.
In 2011, Richard Handel was arrested by the police after he contacted the Swedish Radiation Safety Authority to inquire as to whether or not it was legal for him to be trying to build a reactor in his house.
Well, I mean, that's a good question, though, because what the hell do you charge that guy with? I guess just obscene negligence.
There's probably like a million environmental laws that he violated.
Probably.
There were.
And like making like the building like probably like they have to, you know,
unlivable.
Like, yeah, probably.
he was eventually fined 13,600 kroner, which...
So about twice what he spent on his supplies.
Yeah, about twice what he spent on his supplies.
So he's only in the hole 18,000 kroner, 19,000 kroner?
And this is why you don't have a social safety net. You keep people in miserable poverty so they don't do this crap.
I agree. That's exactly why you don't have a social safety net. You keep people in miserable poverty so they can't do this crap. And you want to get out of that miserable poverty? You're going to need some ideas and some energy. And that's why we bring you Patriot Porridge Extra. That's right. Patriot Porridge. After its creator found out that they could find americium in smoke detectors, the whole game changed. And now, Patriot Porridge Extra. For those that need that extra zap.
Oh, dear God. Now it's just killing you in even another way.
More metal.
Better metal. This metal produces energy.
It fires random bullets in every direction. Bullets that poke your DNA.
Well, it's more like having bubble bees in your stomach.
No, it isn't.
When I think of people eating lead and americium, I think of Winnie the Pooh talking about the rumbly in his tumbly.
Hum dum dee dum, I'm so rumbly in my tumbly.
Yeah, that's what the Heffalumps and Woozles was. It was a fever dream caused by brain rot.
I just like to think of the Pillsbury Doughboy getting poked. His stomach's full of americium and lead. Mercury.
His stomach opens like radiation spilling everywhere. But this is after the Ghostbusters transformed him. There's radiation filling the city. Wait. New York is devastated.
Wait, but the Ghostbusters, that was the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't the Doughboy.
I my joke failed.
Well, now we have to kill Sophia, so we have to bid you all a good night.
I would like to say that the moral of the story, I think if there is one, is for the love of God, don't try to build a reactor in your house. Like, science is cool and all, and I definitely, you know, suggest people learn it.
Stick to using poison to talk to ghosts.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's a safer option in this. At least you're only hurting yourself.
Or at least look at how other people got hurt doing the thing you want to do.
Yeah. Also, Patriot Porridge and Patriot Porridge Extra. Talk to ghosts without the death side effects.
You're definitely going to die.
Not yet.
Oh, you're going to die eating this in like horrible pain.
Okay, if my parents and your parents and Sophia's parents' generation taught us anything, it's that lead's good for you. It gives you bootstraps.
That's where they're from.
Yeah.
Always wonder where to get myself.
As the voice of reason, I would just like to state that Patriot Porridge will kill you.
Asterisk.
There is 100% death.
Define death.
Define death.
The absence of life.
Well... Okay, I'm going to let you know right now that Ivan the Terrible drank mercury every day.
I know, but he didn't combine it with lead or fucking radioactive material.
Yes, but it did convince him that he was the Angel Michael. And he wouldn't have been able to do that without the mercury.
No. The mercury probably convinced him that he was the Archangel Michael, but also he died in agony for mercury poisoning.
It cured his back pain.
Did it?
Actually, I don't know if he did die of mercury poisoning. I think he did.
Mercury probably killed him, but
the point is he was insane.
Yes, he was insane.
And when you add lead to that, and then
we're gonna have to do a whole episode about him and his wacky family. But do you know how he killed his oldest son?
No.
He got into an argument with him about the woman he wanted to marry, and he whacked him in the head with the scepter.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
And he, like, was dead. It was like, oh. It's like, yeah, it sounds like the work of a crazy person to just hit somebody like that and just kill him.
But yeah, back to the point. Patriot Porridge leads to 100% death 100% of the time. And by death, we mean the processes of living have stopped within your body.
Since Jacob's such a Debbie Downer, we're also going to be introducing a new product. Hornet paste, made from 100% freshly ground bald-faced hornets. They're those black and yellow ones that, you know, are pretty scary looking that we get all over New Mexico. We grind them up now and serve them as a spread.
Try it with honey on a cracker, and it's, well, I don't know if I'd say good, but,
Yeah, this sounds disgusting.
It goes really well with Patriot Porridge.
You're just eating ground hornet.
So remember, hornet paste.
All right, yeah.